Let's give Pauline Jetson another hand. For our next speaker, Andre M. on finding balance. Finding balance. Washington, D.C.
My name is Andre M. Attic. I always thank God for allowing me to be here instead of worrying about what they're going to be feeding for dinner this evening. I want to thank the convention committee for even asking me at the last minute. Got a call on Wednesday night. Someone defaulted or couldn't make it. So here I am. Story of my life. Someone prayed for me. That's why I'm here. Want to thank Pauline for sharing. I talk a lot. I listen more. And I've learned that here in Narcotics Anonymous to listen more than I talk. And Pauline is a tough act to follow. She came prepared with notes. She put time and thought and preparation into what she was going to say. And me, I just run out of the house with no money and I'm going to find a way. I'm going to give me two of them and game before the day is over. And they're just all different types of ways to recover. And I'm glad that we're not confined to any one way. Balance, finding balance. Well, when I first got here, May 7th, 1996, I want to stand up tonight for 21 years, but I'm about 10 days shy. So I'm going to have to hold on. And prayerfully, I'll make it to 21 years. I understand that this is a Just for Today program. I know that nothing I did before I walked in here today will keep me clean tomorrow. I've got to do the same thing I did when I first got here. And when I first got here, someone came and got me. Two guys, actually. And they came to get somebody who didn't want to be got. I just needed $20. And when I asked them for it, they said two important words. They said, "We'll see." And I lived in Southeast Washington, for any Washingtonians. And everyone knows we had a program over there on 33rd and Eli Place with traditions and concepts and the like. And I was sitting on my steps and they pulled up. I lived right upstairs, but there was nothing up there to eat. Because when I use, I don't eat. I promised myself the next $5 I get, I'm going to go to McDonald's and get a Big Mac. And something would always get in between me and McDonald's. I buy beer, because beer will curb your appetite. And I'm a health nut like Pauline, so I get me a bag of peanuts. And that's balance. That's a, absolutely. And so, you know, they pulled up and I was sitting there and I had a half a cigarette behind my ear and I had a bumper of warm beer in between my legs and I had a pistol right here in my back. And I was waiting for somebody to come down the street who knew something, was trying to do something, or something. You know, fresh out of ideas. And they pulled up and they thought I had a problem. And they had been needling me to come to a meeting for years and years. And I just couldn't find the sense in doing that. But on this particular day, that we'll see about that $20 got me to come to the meeting. They told me that I could bring the beer, but leave the gun. Yeah. So you have two recovering addicts who comes to get someone who doesn't want to be saved, and who allows me to bring the only thing I had, which was my beer and the hope that they were going to give me that money. And I got in the car and I went to the meeting, and I watched the clock the whole time. I was waiting for you guys to say we can close in the usual manner. And some asshole was up front sharing, just like I'm doing right now. I don't really know what they were saying. I was trying to figure out where Porky and them were. I was spending the $20 that they hadn't given me yet, you know. And anyway, the meeting was over, and I had completed something. The first time I had completed anything since high school. And I was 39. And it was time to celebrate. And they didn't give me $20. These addicts gave me 40. And I tried to get out the goddamn car. And it was running, you know. But I didn't want them to change their mind, you know. And I got back around where I lived, and in 1996, $40 lasted me about 20 minutes. I was able to buy my own pint of Wild Irish Rose wine. I didn't share it. I was able to buy my own bag of dope. Veins are gone, so I didn't risk compromising my syringe. I just stuck it in my ass. I went outside and I proceeded to tell everybody in the neighborhood how great and wonderful Narcotics Anonymous was. And that they needed to get themselves together and go to a meeting. And I, at the end, you know, at the end, I always wanted to get myself together, but it was after I got high. After I get high, I started folding up dirty clothes. Yeah, I'm circling jobs in the paper and shit, because on Monday, I'm gonna get myself together. And for those of us who have that 12-step ear, you can hear the balance in my life then opposed to what's going on now. You know, like now, I had to go in early last night because I had to get up and come here. I had to go to thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of Narcotics Anonymous meetings to learn how to stop using one day at a time. I had to learn how to keep my hand down even when I knew the answer. Simple tasks like just putting the top back on the toothpaste every day became priorities in my life. And going to meetings every day and all day, I can remember being in a 12 o'clock meeting and a guy said, "Andre, you shouldn't be in these 12 o'clock meetings any longer. You should be at work. You got to find some balance. Because everything you learn in here, you're going to have to take it out there. This is just the gym. The fight is out there." And so I started going to work. Something I hadn't successfully done in my life. I was never functioning addict. In fact, I don't even understand why you would go to work if you're going to use narcotics. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense at all to me. It's a waste of time because I never had any balance. It was either all or nothing. All or nothing. I'm either going to kill myself or I'm going to live. And I'm either going to use or I'm not going to use. I'm either going to do the right thing or I'm not going to do the right thing. I just don't know how to straddle the fence. And so that presents a problem, because the things that I'm doing, I don't really want to do them. I'm the only one, but I really don't like being humble. I don't like working. I don't like being of service. I don't like compromising my time. I don't like showing up for people. I don't like being the rock. I don't like being the one that's understanding and the one that's never understood. I don't like a lot of this stuff that I'm doing, and I'm trying to find the balance. And people said, just keep coming. Just keep coming. This too will be revealed. And I kept coming. I started working, and you know what happens when you work, you get paid, and you know what happens when you get paid and you don't use, you can shop, and you start shopping, and you stop copping, and then you establish credit, and then you find out that you can go into the BMW dealer, and they ask you, well, how much money are you going to put down? And you say, I'm not putting down nothing. And then they say, well, let's go check that out. And you say, well, go ahead and check it out. And then they come back and say, yeah, you're good. You want a soda? And you know, the balance of fighting over a transfer, you know. Why don't you throw the goddamn transfer out the window? You know. And now you're in the BMW dealer. And I know this is not a materialistic program, and I know a lot of you all don't give a shit about a BMW. But people that fight over transfers do. Yeah, people that fight over transfers do. And so all these things start to happen, you know. My mother gave me the key to the house again. My father, who at one time didn't want to see me in the vicinity. Huh? Nowhere in the vicinity. You know, my mother would sneak me food and money. She almost got a divorce over me. And, you know, all these great and wonderful things start to happen. And everybody remember when this stuff just, you know, it started becoming like natural. You know, I started paying bills. And, you know, first I started off with some rent. And I had a little hoopty. And then I graduated to the BMW. And then I bought a house. And then I took the money out of that house. And I went and bought another house. And I took the money out of that house. And I went and bought another house. And then I had all these different keys. And I had all these different people that were doing all these different things. And then I started getting credit cards. And I started negotiating credit card rates. And then I started playing the stock market. And then I started investing money in this and investing money in that. And then I decided that I didn't want to work for anyone anymore. So I'm going to go into business for myself. So I went into business for myself. And I've been in business for myself now for 17 years. And it's been a struggle trying to keep my head above the water, because during all this time I have to keep coming to meetings. I don't care what goes on in my life, I must go to meetings. You know, in fact, that's one of the first things I do almost every day, is I go to a meeting first. I mean, I know a lot of people have kind of drifted away from that, but this is what I need. I need meetings. I need meetings, and I need meetings. Because you people have shown me everything I know. You've shown me how to actually live without using a drink or drug. I remember when I was 25, I was cut up like a bag of dope. I was on a boxing team. I was never gonna die. I knew everything. And I snapped my fingers and now I'm 60. And, you know, if I snap them again, it'd probably be over, but. I mean, life has just come and gone by so fast, so quickly. And I'm just getting to the point where I'm really enjoying it, you know. I'm not really rushing, like the 11th step says, to get anything done or to go anyplace. Things are pretty much set in stone. I rely on God to make most of my decisions for me. I just show up and I let God do all the rest. That's what's worked for me. I'm really, really smart. And I stopped being so smart here in Narcotics Anonymous. I just took my seat. Try to keep my hand down and try to find some balance in this thing called life. And so God gave me a whole lot of stuff. Stuff I wanted, stuff I don't want. And he gives me this plate. And the plate has a lot on it. You know, The plate has my children on it, my grandchildren on it, my parents. I'm still blessed to have my parents. They're on the plate, you know, my business is on it. My friends are on it. And I have to eat everything on the plate. I have to eat the good stuff, and I have to eat the bad stuff. I have to eat the stuff I like, the stuff I don't like. But he helps me to digest it. Anybody understand what I'm saying? it helps me to chew it up, to cut it up in small pieces and get it down, because life is not about, for me, it's not about choosing what he puts on your plate. It's about figuring out how you gonna cut it up and eat it, you know. And so at 60 years old, it's not as long as it used to be. And I'm not morbid, and I'm not spooky, and I'm not none of that. But I know my time is growing shorter day by day. And so I'm trying to get him to waive allocution. Now, you know that when you go to court, your lawyer is going to ask that the judge waive allocution, because you don't want the prosecution to bring up any prior charges that you had that would affect the sentencing for today. Correct? Right? So I got to Narcotics Anonymous. I had done lots of terrible things. I don't know if anybody had done lots of terrible things, but I had done lots of terrible things. I had compromised people's trust and affection and love for me. People had tried to help me over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and I did what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And I got here, and you guys said, sit down, take a seat, and everything's going to be all right. Didn't you tell me that? And then you started to tell me that, you know, I need to learn how to forgive myself, and that God would forgive me. And I bought into that, and I agree. But what I know after cultivating this relationship with God, I still have to pay for what I've done. See, Narcotics Anonymous will not exempt me from judgment. So all I'm trying to do now is to get him to waive allocution since I've been here. You know, since I've been here now, I've done some good stuff, man. I gave Mike Rowe $5. I took some people out to eat. I've done some great and wonderful things, you know. And so I'm getting ready for the, you know, the next program. I don't think this is it. I think I got one more judge to stand before. And thanks to you guys, my PSIs is a little better, you know. Yeah, I know what it was like to go to court and your pre-sentence investigation just all tore up. Thanks to the program, mine is a little better. If you're new here in Narcotics Anonymous, keep coming back. You probably didn't land in this room or in the program by accident. It was probably orchestrated by the same band leader that I marched in here under. I thought this stuff was all unreal for me. I had planned on dying shooting dope. I had planned on spending the rest of my natural life in jail, killing somebody or being killed. And thanks to this program and to those two guys who came to get somebody who didn't want to be gotten, I want to close saying this. People say you got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. But I'm telling you, you don't. You don't even have to want this to get it. You don't even have to want to become a better person, to become a better person. All you have to do is just keep showing up. Keep showing up and the opportunities will be presented. They will. And I'm forever grateful. I want to thank you. My grandsons want to thank you. They do. They want to thank you for giving them me. Thank you for letting me share.